It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Middle Georgia's ESPN.
Happy Wednesday and welcome into the Midday Sports Zone. I'm Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley alongside. 2 hours of sports talk with you today. We got a couple of guests on the rundown. The new head coach of the Jones County Greyhounds, Mike Chastain, will be joining us in about half an hour. We look forward to that. Catching up with Coach Chastain. Always happy to have him on the program. Always appreciate his time. And then at 12:30, we'll talk golf. It's here.
That's right.
Stan Autry of whiteandgold.com, who covers Georgia Tech, will now be Stan Autry, editor of Golf Georgia Magazine. And we will talk golf. Daniel and Stan will talk golf. I'll pretend like I know what I'm talking about.
That's all right.
A lot of shows fake it. We don't. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know golf. I can name golfers.
Right. It's the same thing with the Kentucky Derby Saturday. I don't know anything about horse racing.
Somebody
sent me a message on Facebook and it said, Daniel, can you explain to us what happened? I said, well, I can tell you what happened. I don't know if I can explain what happened. Right. That's two different things.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. You know, if that had been a football game, I'm sure I would have had a very strong opinion.
Sure.
It's horse racing. I didn't even watch the race. I don't know. Like I said, rubbing's racing.
That's right. And there was some rubbing there.
I don't know. Does that apply to horses? I don't know.
Apparently it does not.
It used to apply to cars, but that's a different story for a different day. We've got a lot of stuff to cover on the program today. I guess we could start with last night's Braves game, which was just an utter disaster. It just was.
Kind of start to finish, right?
It started bad, and it never got better. The Dodgers win the game 9-0. Max Fried, I hate this for Max. I was so excited about him getting that start at Dodger Stadium. It wasn't the first time he'd been on the mound there, but it was his first regular season start in Dodger Stadium. And he wasn't good. He wasn't good at all.
No.
And then he got hit by a line drive and knocked out of the game. So his final line score is atrocious. One inning pitched, four runs, all earned. Justin Turner hit a home run off of him. Even with that horrible outing last night, it does say something about a pitcher when you go out on May the 7th, you get knocked out of the game after one inning and give up four earned runs, and your ERA is 2.97.
Still under three, right?
Right.
So. I mean, it tells you how good he's been.
It does. And then Josh Tomlin, more on him later. Josh Tomlin comes in, works four innings, gives up one earned run. And Tomlin, Dayton, and Winkler really gave the Braves a chance. They held the Dodgers down for seven innings, kept it at 4-0. The Braves offense couldn't get it going. And then Blevins just wet the bed. Bad outing. He gave up four earned in one inning of work. And he's been good since the Braves acquired him.
Those
a couple weekends ago,
happen.
So I'm not going to freak out or panic about that, but just not a good night. And then Hyunjin Ryu throws a complete game shutout. He had a perfect game through five innings. Tyler Flowers finally broke it up with a single. That's when I was like, okay, we broke up the perfect game. I'm going to bed now. He was just unhittable. And you know what? There's a lot of baseball left to go this season, and this doesn't by any way stretch of the imagination define the Atlanta Braves, but I think what we found out in two games against the Dodgers, who are the best team in the National League right now, as far as the postseason and winning playoff series go, this team still has a long way to go.
Well, I mean, we saw it last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a great year and did a lot of great things, and I'm not diminishing what they did, but when they ran up against the Dodgers in the playoffs, you saw they weren't on that level. Who knows when we get to that point. I mean, the Dodgers went to the World Series. So,
yeah.
I mean,
that's what you're up against. Once you can say, hey, we're right there with the Dodgers, then you're talking about a team that can win the World Series.
Right. I mean, you're wearing your division championship shirt last year. You're not going to get
that. Trying to bring some good vibes for Game 3, baby. We're going to get one.
You're not going to give that back because of what happened
in
the playoffs.
Oh, hell no.
Right?
No. Usually I am top shirt off the clean pile guy. I don't really pay. I mean, unless I'm going to be out in public, you know, I want to be presentable. But if I'm just coming in here, I don't really pay attention to what I'm wearing. But today, I specifically sought out my 2018 Eastern Division, NL East Division Champions T-shirt because we got to get one in LA, man. I had to bring some good vibes for my Bravos. And I throw in my lucky Georgia Southern hat just for good measure.
Well, the Phillies play early, so I didn't want to wear my Philly shirt because I always feel like it's bad luck if I wear a Philly shirt when they're playing.
Really?
Yeah. That's... So I wore my Star Wars shirts.
Okay. What time they get cranked up?
1:15, I think.
I'm going to have to get a tug on that game this
Maybe
afternoon.
Maybe 1:05, 1:15.
Is that on MLB Network?
It's on MLB at Bat. I don't know if it's on MLB Network.
I have to check that out.
But, I could look it up and see.
But Josh Donaldson, I'm keeping a close eye on him in the series. And look, I said this yesterday's show. I asked a buddy. I said, is it fair to really hone in on Josh Donaldson for this series? Because my take on it is this is the series why the Braves signed Josh Donaldson. These are the types of games. So far, he's 1-for-8 with 5 strikeouts. We need more. We just need more. It could just be a bad stretch. I don't know if the Cavs are bothering him. He's been in both games. Hopefully, he'll be in the lineup tonight. And again, I feel like a broken record here. He's not the only one. He's not the only Brave that's struggling in this series. Freeman was 0-for-4 last night. Acuna was 0-for-3. Markakis 0-for-3. Swanson was 1-for... Dansby Swanson just keeps hitting, by the way. I tell you, man. He's coming into his own, I think. Ender was 0-for-3, so it's not just Josh Donaldson struggling, but when people ask a very obvious and very simple question, we had a third baseman, why did the Braves sign Josh Donaldson? The answer is to add a more dynamic bat to the lineup for when you face the Hyunjin Ryus of the world. He did get a hit last night, but he's 1-for-8. This is the series, right? When we say,
right.
You use the term, the Braves are not on that level. Josh Donaldson was brought in to try to elevate this lineup to that level, and he's not doing it.
Well,
right
what now. The reason we were told they weren't on that level is because they didn't have enough power.
Mm-hmm. Which, and I don't disagree with that.
No, I don't disagree with either. And he was brought in this year to give them power.
Mm-hmm. And at times he's done that.
Yes.
But this is the series where I was really hoping he would show out a little bit. And there's still one game left. You know, he could go 4-for-4 tonight, hit a couple home runs. You get one on the road in L.A., I don't think you complain about that too much. They were saying last night on the radio broadcast, and I did not realize it had been this long, the Braves haven't won a series in L.A. since 2012.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know what? When that's what you're talking about right there, and you just had a pitcher go out and throw a complete game shutout against you, if you come out of there and you salvage one game off of Clayton Kershaw, who's the starter tonight, by the way, I don't think you're going to be complaining too much about that. But, you know, the old adage in baseball about starting pitching, the reality of it is when you look at the starting pitchers tonight, we know what Folty's dealing with a dip in velocity, with his elbow. We know what Kershaw's capable of. It doesn't look good. It looks like a sweep on paper right now. But as the old adage goes, they play games on baseball diamonds, not on paper.
Well, and the thing about it is you knew it was going to be hard to go to – L.A. and
sure
against the three who you knew were pitching.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew it was going to be tough against those guys. But if that happens, you just have to kind of put it behind you and go to, Arizona's next, yeah. Right?
And they're right there with the Dodgers.
They're playing really well, too. So at some point, you've got to beat these teams.
Yeah. So, well, and look, there's the game left tonight against L.A., and then you've got four. You win tonight and get a split. And go 3-4 in this stretch, you know, it's not great, but I don't think you're going to complain about that too much considering what you're dealing with. The other part that takeaway from last night's game, all of a sudden, this starting rotation is scuffling a little bit. I haven't seen an update on Freed. He was hit by a line drive. It hit him right in the left hand last night, so that's scary. We'll get an injury update on him. We know what Folty's dealing with. And Kevin Gausman's staring at a suspension at some point. They're trying to get it reduced. So now all of a sudden, there's a lot of question marks in that starting rotation to go along with the concern that we've had all year about the bullpen. So it's a tough stretch. As good as things were in Miami, it's a tough stretch right now in L.A. We knew it was going to be difficult, and you just kind of have to weather the storm right now. The Braves are still in second place. They're a game ahead of the Mets. They're 18-18 on the season. They're 2.5 back of Philadelphia, who's going to lose this afternoon. I'm just because Daniel didn't wear his Phillies t-shirt.
No, so they're going to win because I didn't wear my Phillies.
No, they're
going
to lose. So we don't have to worry about that. And, go get one tonight.
It's it's like Dabo says, I'm not superstitious. I'm just regular stitious.
Yeah, just a little stitious. Yeah, that's me. I'm just a little bit stitious. I was a little bit stitious when I got my Braves shirt today. And I don't normally wear hats. You know that.
You don't wear hats very much.
This is my good vibe hat right here.
You got rub on it. See, I wear my
lucky eagle.
My lucky championship hat. And now I've got two. I should have three. I don't have one from 1981. I do have the Sports Illustrated. Ben and I started looking up
We didn't say anything about football.
I know.
Go ahead.
You start rubbing your lucky hat. This is my lucky hat.
Okay.
Ben and I started looking up how many more titles Clemson's going to have by the time he graduates.
Oh, dear Lord.
And where that puts us like in the ranking of championships? Because I think if we get to like seven, that's like third behind Alabama and Notre Dame. But this is like, you got this awful look on your face.
I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. But in like modern era football, like I looked up number of national championships teams have, and like Princeton has 22. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not true. That what about modern era? And Alabama's number one.
It counts. They played football. They won games. Why are you hating on the Ivy League? Are you just jealous because they're smarter than you?
A national title doesn't mean it's real.
Well, this is true, UCF. This is true. This is very true. Although a lot of people claim a lot of things.
I could have got into Princeton if you added up my SAT. Like, if you gave me like some extra credit, I could have got into Princeton.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I could have got into Princeton too if I sent in my resume to get that custodial job. Well, are you kidding me?
I could have been that. I could have been Matt Damon.
Princeton.
Wasn't it Matt Damon? Wasn't it Princeton?
No, it was MIT. Or was it Harvard?
It was Harvard.
Harvard.
How you like them apples?
Oh, I love that movie. That's one of my all-time favorites.
That is a great movie.
Oh, man.
Have you ever seen that? There's a thing. I can't remember. I saw it online, and it's like you're reading the script of the scene.
Yeah.
And it's telling you, well, Matt Damon's supposed to stand here, and he's supposed to turn around and look. And it's giving you that, like, in closed caption while you're watching the scene. It's really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
That's interesting. By the way, the 2019 SI swimsuit cover is out. Uh-oh. And
who's on the cover?
Tyra Banks.
Really?
Yeah, she still got it. We got to take a break. Back with more right after this. Okay. 11:16. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley, back with you. Midday Sports Zone. So the NBA playoffs last night, huh?
Couple of blowouts.
I was watching. I was paying attention.
But you know the thing about that is you can still have a really good series and you're going to have some blowouts.
No, and look, Portland, for example, they lost 124-98. They threw in the towel. That's for sure. I did not see the second half of Toronto and Philadelphia because I saw the second quarter when the Raptors outscored Philadelphia 37-17. I did hear Charles Barkley in the post game say it wasn't that close, America. 125-89 was the final score.
He's killing Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Killing him.
Yeah. Well, what did Embiid do last night? Let's pull up his numbers. Yeah, 13 points. He was 5-10 from the field.
But the game before
turnovers.
The game before, James Ennis took more shots than Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
You know who James Ennis is?
I
do because I watch the Sixers a lot, but I bet most people don't know who James Ennis is, but
sure they do. Everybody watches Long Beach State play basketball.
Wow. I didn't know he went to Long Beach State. There you go. But he's been sick too.
Thank you, Internet.
He said, I've got a upper respiratory infection or whatever. Well, I'm sorry. You've got to
so do I.
You gotta play through this stuff, man. And
I'm not playing basketball though.
No, that's true. But it shows you just how hard it is.
Yeah. And then I don't know, I guess because of the blowout last night is why you saw limited minutes. I didn't see the second half of Toronto and Philly. I did notice after Tyler Flowers got the hit to break up the perfect game, I flipped it over to Portland and Denver, and it was a blowout as well. And I know Portland was playing a lot of their backups. Just, you know, there's – because the game – it's you know what they say, you know, you lose the battle, but you can still win the war. So that's basically what the thought process was. But I'm telling you right now, this Denver team.
They're impressive, man.
I don't – we talk about – and Daniel, you're the one leading this charge here. But we talk about how, you know, if you're going to beat the Warriors, it's probably a good idea to try to not emulate them and right. do it a different way. And Nikola Jokic, is he the recipe here for Golden State? Because they're going to have to deal with this big 7-foot, 250-pounder. And, dude, this guy, last night, 25 points, 19 rebounds, 6 assists. He's as an adept a passer as he is scorer. I mean, he's only in his third season. Obviously an international player, we know that. And he's been tucked away with the Denver Nuggets. I mean, this may be the best player in the NBA nobody knows about.
Oh, I think it is. I think he's a first-team All-NBA guy, talent-wise and production-wise. He's not going to get it because everybody's going to vote for Joel Embiid. But if you went around and asked the teams, I bet you
this guy's better than Joel
Embiid. Joker would get the would get the votes.
Is that his nickname?
Yes.
That's perfect. Because he looks like the Joker, and his name's Jokic.
He's fun to watch. And the thing about it, he's not a good athlete. He just kind of lumbers down the court. Somebody said he's Bill Laimbeer with talent, is what he is. Because he's about the same size. He just kind of lumbers down the court. Yeah, but he passes well.
The passing ability,
he
the vision.
He shoots it well.
Yeah.
He's tough. He is going to be a handful. Well, if the Warriors get there first. The Warriors got to get by the Rockets.
Yeah, well, and the Nuggets got to get by the Blazers, yeah.
Right. He's going to be a handful for whoever, if they get to Western Conference Finals. And people have overlooked Denver all year, and now they're seeing him going, wait a minute, how did I not know about him?
Yeah.
He's a really good player.
You know, from a television standpoint, I know they talked about the ratings being down. You know, show the talent. Show the flash. Don't worry about the flash. I mean, this guy needs to be on TV more because it's not every day. I mean, you see an offense run through a big man anymore. And in today's game, because it has changed where it's more where they like to space the floor, right? Well,
right.
He can do that.
Oh, my gosh.
He can space the floor at 7 feet 250, and they can still play through him.
Right.
And that's just – you know, it's Arvydas Sabonis is a name that's going to come to mind.
That's a good comparison.
But, you know, but he's more. But by the time Sabonis got to America, his knees were shot.
He's the young Sabonis, is what it is. Because when Sabonis got here, I mean, he had played pro ball for 15 years before he got here, and he could barely run up and down the court. That's a very good comparison of him for Joker. And the thing about it is. They do play fast because everybody in the NBA now plays fast at some point.
Yeah.
But they also, if they need to slow it down and walk it up the court, they can do that and still. And Jamal Murray's playing great, and Joker's playing great. They're really dangerous.
Yeah.
They're really. You know, what if you got him and Giannis against each other in the finals? That would be something to see. Everybody talks about the big man being out of the game now.
I don't think that's the case.
I think that's the way you have to beat Golden State. Now, look, Houston's trying to beat Golden State by playing even faster than Golden State, and that might be a way to beat them, too. And Golden State has no depth, either. So that's what Houston's trying to take advantage of. But I'm really impressed with Denver.
I am, too.
Their coaching staff, their role guys, and then their two stars, Jamal Murray and him, and Joker. I mean, really, really impressed by them.
Yeah, I am, too. What do we make of the Toronto Raptors? I mean, is this team going to the Eastern Conference Finals? Because it sure looked like it last night.
Yeah, I think they've got the guy playing the best. And we talk about these other guys playing well. Nobody's playing better than Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-mm.
Nobody. I mean, my son Ben told me, he started rattling off his stats from like 12 feet in or something. He's shooting 65% from the floor in this series. From three-point range, he's shooting 48%. Inside, in between, he's shooting 55%. I mean, and he just looks under control. And on the other end, I mean, they're calling the claw for the reason. He shuts guys down.
Yeah, yes, he does. You know, looking at Toronto, I didn't realize the depth they had on this team.
Yeah.
Danny Green's on this team. He's a great shooter, played at North Carolina. Always been a fan of his. Kyle Lowry, of course, is still there. They've added Marc Gasol, Kawhi Leonard. I didn't know who Pascal Siakam was until last night.
He's tough, man.
Kid out of New Mexico State.
He's young,
a good player.
Too. Right.
Yeah, they've got Eric Moreland coming off the bench. Serge Ibaka's coming off the bench. Fred Van Fleet's coming off the bench. He played 16 minutes last night. And Van Fleet was, I mean, he's not an elite-type player, but we know how good he was at Wichita State, and he's a good basketball player. You know, and I think watching these teams, it's like you see what the Hawks are trying to build. And I really do believe for as much – complaining as I've been doing about this league, when you get to this stage and you see how franchises like Toronto, like Denver, like Portland have gone about building their teams all of a sudden, there really seems to be a lot of smart people in these front offices right now. And while, you know, basketball is always going to be about the stars, and that's had the attention and that's had the focal point. People have talked a lot more about the Celtics than any other teams remaining in the East. They've talked more about the Sixers on top of that, because of the high lottery picks they've gotten.
Sure.
But you look at Milwaukee, and of course they got the Greek Freak, which was huge for them. But if you look at Milwaukee and Toronto and the way they've gone about building these rosters, Denver and Portland, see, that's the NBA I like. And they're not on national TV as much. So I'm thoroughly enjoyed what I've seen the last two nights. I'm getting sucked back into it, and I'm happy.
Well, it makes you wonder, like, in the NFL, it doesn't matter what market you're in, mm-hmm. right? They're going to showcase the best players. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers plays in Green Bay, and he's on prime time all the time because of how talented he is and how good his team has been. They weren't as good this year. So why wouldn't Milwaukee be on more, Denver be on more? We shouldn't get to this point, Toronto. We should not get to this point of the season where three of the best players are on small market teams and we don't know who they are.
Right.
That's bad marketing by the NBA.
That's bad marketing by the NBA. And it's,
and the TV. And TV.
Well, see, and television's just glommed on to the reality show portion of it.
Of the Celtics. And,
right. And with the season as long as it is, there's no reason you can't put these teams on television too. And, I mean, the ratings are down. But I guarantee you, I would have watched more basketball if I'd have known who Nikola Jokic was, or if the Greek Freak. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I still can't say his name right, and I'm not even going to try. Just call him by his first name.
Giannis.
He's like Beyonce or Madonna or Kobe, LeBron. He's a one name dude.
You went Beyonce, Madonna, Kobe.
Sure, I was trying to bring it back to sports. You got me thinking about Beyonce during the break, and
I didn't.
Well, you took me down that path, and as usual,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I go like five steps too far down the path. So
I mean, I would have gone, you know, Madonna, Prince, Elvis, but okay, Kobe. I'm talking about beef or a basketball player.
I'm not a big Elvis fan, we don't want to start down that path.
I don't like Grits. I don't like Andy Griffith. I don't like Elvis.
Well, this is pretty, and Beach Boys. Don't forget.
No, I'm with you on that one.
Grits and Beach Boys.
Wrong.
Are fighting for first and second.
Wrong. Wrong. We got to take a break. Mike Chastain's going to join us. He's the new head football coach at Jones County. We'll catch up with Coach, see how things are going so far in his first few weeks as the Greyhounds head man. That and more as we continue on the Midday Sports Zone right after this. I don't want to do that again. I've already got chastised on Twitter for making fun of Bruce Springsteen.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
J-Rad,
don't mess
man.
With the boss, man.
He went after me. That's all right, though.
Good for you, J-Rad.
That's all right. Don't mess with the boss. Good. Different strokes for different folks, man.
Right. I mean, I'm not a huge Bruce Springsteen fan, but I like some of his stuff.
If I grew up in New Jersey in the 80s, I'd probably still have a Bruce Springsteen poster in my bedroom, okay? But I didn't.
Wow.
I grew up in Middle Georgia in the 90s.
I'm sorry. I've never had another dude.
I like Driving and Crying on my wall and the Black Crowes.
Who wasn't an athlete.
So?
Like I had the Michael Jordan door.
So it makes it okay if it's an athlete?
Sure it does. I had the full door Michael Jordan poster on my wall for a long time. He was going up dunking. And I hope it was on Lambeer.
No, it wouldn't have been.
No,
he never would have made it to the rim. That's right.
Yeah.
You ever watched that? Yeah, never mind.
Never mind.
Tate on Twitter, Jordan forever ruined the excuse of being sick and not playing well. He was faking.
Come on, Tate.
We know that.
Shut up.
It's just like his suspension.
I'm going to cut his mic off, Tate. I wish I could. Your hatred of Michael Jordan is like,
I don't hate Michael Jordan. Unmatched. He's the greatest of all time.
Unmatched.
He's the best basketball player who ever lived.
He's jealousy.
It's not jealousy.
Jealousy.
No, my Detroit Pistons made him.
I don't think he would argue that.
Well, he said so in the Bad Boys 30 for 30.
Did he?
I didn't watch. You're welcome.
I couldn't watch that.
You're welcome.
That's like going to see some horror movie. I can't watch that. I couldn't watch it.
We're efforting Mike Chastain, by the way. For all you Jones County fans, you're like, what are these two idiots talking about? We're efforting Coach Chastain.
Something may have come up. I mean, new job, new school.
Yeah.
Things come up.
School year's still going. That's our disclaimer. If you're new to the program, when high school football season rolls back around, we make every effort to get as many of these coaches on as we can.
Yeah, we do.
And disclaimer is they are also teachers, and it's the middle of the day. So
you remember when we used to do it in the morning and we'd call and some of them would have bus duty?
Oh, yeah.
And they'd answer the phone on bus duty. I'm
like, hey, hang on. Let me get somebody to watch these kids. Hey, can you? All right. Hey, guys, how you doing?
How many did we have answer the phone on practice field?
Oh, yeah.
Like before the season started, sure. Before school started.
Well, they'd have the early morning practices. That's right. Yeah. Oh, no. It's
Coach Campbell was – Coach Chad Campbell did that a lot.
Yeah, he
from
did.
Peach County.
It's, you know, that's the one thing to remember. These high school coaches, they have to be in the classrooms and, you know, they're teachers too. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. So, you know, when we call these guys, there's no, you know, they're not ducking and dodging us. They have
things going on.
They have real jobs, unlike us. Who are you?
Hey, I've got one real job. I don't have two.
You know, the boy always told. I asked him the other day. I was like, I can't remember what was going on. He was wanting me to check him. That's right. He was wanting me to check him out of school. It was when the Braves played like the 12 o'clock game or whatever, and we didn't have a midday show. So I went and had lunch with him. He was like, can you check me out of school? And I was like, dude, no, I'm not checking you out of school. Oh, come on, Dad. Just check me out of school. I said, well, we're still doing an afternoon show, buddy. I mean, were you just going to sit there and play on your tablet quietly? He goes, oh, you got to work this afternoon? I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, your job's boring. You'll just sit around and talk about sports. Well, thanks, bud. Appreciate that.
I got a long time ago, Dad, does it really work if you're just writing about sports? Oh, well, yeah, it pays for you to go to – pays for your tuition. I don't just sit around and do this for craps and giggles. I mean, get a paycheck.
It's work, bud. Yeah. I'm not doing this for my health. Obviously, because it's not great.
Yes. Your health is pretty good.
No, it is. I am in good health. I just, you know, when you've had a cold that's going on, you know, week two, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
I think it's allergies at this point, though. There's no way a cold lasts this long, right? And I always feel better after I take Flonase. So I think I'm on to the allergy.
I think it's
part
an allergy part. I think you had both.
Yeah, I think so.
I think there was a little bit of both. But yeah, I think it's mostly, at this point, it's mostly allergies. A friend of mine put on Twitter that he's always bragging about how he's from Nebraska.
Okay.
And he put on Twitter how the allergies haven't bothered him since he's moved to Georgia. And he said, I opened my mouth too quickly.
Dude, they'll get you here.
It has hit him hard.
But you know, and I don't know, I don't specifically, and I guess a botanist could tell me this specifically, I don't know what I'm allergic to, but when I lived in North Carolina, it wasn't a problem. And about the time I got north of Columbia, if I'd come home to visit, by the time I got about north of Columbia, it would clear up.
Well, when I went home last weekend, right, you know, mm-hmm. for the high school reunion, I forgot to take my Flonase for 3 days, and I was fine. Huh. It's not as bad there to me as it is here.
And my mom was the same way, and I could never figure out what it was. I mean, it must be pine trees.
Well, I'm allergic to everything. I mean,
know that. Yeah, you're
except for pets.
You're like the boy in the bubble.
I am. I need to be in a bubble.
Man, I'm allergic to cats, and I didn't know it. And then my mama got cats, and I went to go visit. Every time I go visit her, my eyes just turn red and puffy and water. And
I'm fine with pets. None of that bothers me. But you put me outside, I am a raving mess.
Boy in the bubble. Can't even take him camping.
I can live with that. I'm fine with that. I don't want to go camping.
You know, we're planning a backpacking trip over the weekend. Not this weekend.
Nope.
You're out on that?
I'm out.
We're going to hike about 7 or 8 miles into the woods, set up camp.
I mean, if you want to hike down the street, I'm good. If you just walk down the street on the concrete.
So you're out on the...
Keep me out of that green stuff. I'm okay.
We'll be in the mountains. You're out on that?
I'm out.
We got to find a nice creek to play in. You out?
You know, it's so weird because I played in the creek a lot when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We used to, like, break beaver dams and...
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And little...
What happened to you?
I don't know,
used to be cool. Now you hate Andy Griffith and grits.
Well, we were at our reunion the other day, and this girl that grew up in our neighborhood was telling people about... All these paths, we had bike paths, and we had these huge patch of woods, and we built like 3 or 4 log cabins, and we had wars in there, and we had swings and all this stuff, and I don't know, something happened to me. I'm not allergic to whatever's in the woods. I guess I'm just allergic to everything here. It's just really bad.
Yeah.
So.
We got an update on Coach?
We do have an update. He says it might be a few minutes.
Oh, that's all
anytime, right. Whenever's good for him, I'm going to let him know.
Yeah, that's cool, man. We can roll with the old punches here. But I wonder if he's like putting a kid in suspension or something.
Wow.
Ask him, hey, Coach, did you have to write somebody up? He can't name names, I guess. That would be illegal.
No, he can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We started talking about ISS when we were at our reunion.
Oh, really?
Did you ever get put in ISS?
Never got put in ISS. Never got put in ISS. Never got suspended. I knew when to cash in the chips and
I got three stints in ISS in high school.
Really? What'd you do?
Never got suspended, but I got three stints in
ISS. Now, I don't want to make this out to be like I was some angel. I never got caught.
Well, One time we were in history class in the 10th grade, and we were doing a report, and the guys didn't. I said, "Well, I had a computer." I said, "Well, I can." So somebody ripped out the pages of the encyclopedia and gave them to me, and I was going to take them home and do the report at home instead of having to do it at school. Well, we got caught. I had to pay for the encyclopedia. We had to buy the encyclopedia, the whole set. It's like $300. So I got ISS for that. My friend and I, I had four stints. My friend and I, we used to sit in the same class and see who could yell cuss words the loudest. And at one point, my teacher actually, you remember those world maps, and they were like on a little stand, and they were in the back of the room?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
She put him in the corner and put the world map in front of him.
Wow.
And I laughed so hard that we got an ISS for that.
Come on, you got to put an ISS for that?
Well, I mean, we kept yelling the cuss words.
Too. Oh, okay.
We were told to stop. I didn't tell you the whole story.
Okay.
I was in the courtyard outside of my friend's classroom, and I was yelling his name. And I was going, Montez, Montez. And I was saying other stuff I shouldn't have been saying, and somebody ratted me out. And somebody said, well, who is that? And he said, I think it's Daniel Shirley. And I got put in ISS for that. And then there's one I can't, it's too long of a story. But we were doing stuff in journalism class, joking around with a female student of our, a classmate of ours. And she was in the dark room, and we were sliding notes to her under the door, and they were blue. Let's just say that. We went blue with our act. And the same guy who ratted me out for calling the name out ratted me out for that.
Mm-hmm. What did you write on the notes?
Nah, I can't repeat that.
You told me that
but
story
she
before.
Tore the notes up, and then he taped them back together and then gave them to the teacher.
Oh, my
gosh. And then every teacher in the school read them.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the principal said he was going to make us read them over the intercom, except that it would have made her look bad. So we got an ISS for that.
Oh.
We were. The only reason we didn't get suspended for that is because Tommy was a starting quarterback on the football team. He's my best friend. He was with me, and we got ISS for that. Because if he got suspended, he couldn't play.
Right. Well, and they weren't going to do that.
Right.
They weren't going to.
And they weren't going to suspend me without suspending him.
I don't know how things work today, kids, but yeah, they weren't.
They weren't
going
to suspend him for that.
So. Oh my gosh.
So I got four stints of ISS in 4 years.
Great story. We're going to take a break. Hopefully, we'll be able to catch up with Coach Chastain here.
He's going to call us back, but it may be a few minutes.
Nah, that's quite all right. We'll take a break. Back with more of the Midday Sports Zone right after this. Mm-hmm. 11:43, Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley back with you here on the Midday Sports Zone. As we've got, hopefully, Mike Chastain is going to join us as soon as possible. And coming up at 12:30, we'll talk some golf with our man Stan Autry. Looking forward to that. Well, at least Daniel is.
Oh, I am. Big major coming up next week.
So
got to get ready for it.
Oh, it's next week?
Yeah.
U.S. Open's next week?
No, Bethpage Black PGA Championship.
I'm sorry, you said major. Is the British Open next week?
Oh, you're just so wrong about everything.
Speaking of wrong about everything, is Tyronn Lue really going to be the new head coach of the Lakers?
Yes.
Is this for real?
Yes, and I love it. Not so much that I love it because I think it's going to work.
No, it's not.
I love it because I think it's going to be another train wreck.
I mean, LeBron James is killing his legacy in L.A., isn't he?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, his legacy is what it is. He's not finished writing it, obviously. What he did in Cleveland, I will say, and I've said this before, I'll reiterate, that one title in Cleveland means more to his legacy than the two in Miami.
It really does.
Because he sold out in Miami to go win a title, to go chase a title, like KD did in Golden State.
I don't have a problem.
And I'm fine with it. If Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley could have ever played together, would they? I don't know. They didn't. I don't know that their contracts ever worked out, that they could have gone somewhere and played together. But I don't have a problem with this. But LeBron in L.A., it's almost, and I'm not saying he's not still a good player, because he is, right? Because everybody, oh, he's the greatest player in the world. I don't know that's true anymore, first off. And age, you said it, age always wins.
Yeah. Oh, always.
It always wins. Always, always. Time always wins. And when time is winning, plus you're doing some of the things he's doing and the way he alienated his teammates and he got his coach fired and he comes out kind of almost kind of passively aggressively ripping Magic for the way Magic left, and Magic left was cowardly. But LeBron did the same thing in Cleveland, the first time anyway. He kind of did the same thing in Miami when he left Miami to go back to Cleveland. So he's done that too. Yeah, it's not good. It's not been a good look for Miami, for L.A., for him, sure.
It really hasn't. And to think, I mean, I have a hard time saying you're the best player in the world when you're not in the playoffs. And look, right. I would have said the same thing about Michael Jordan when he was in Washington. But Michael Jordan was also, what, 39 years old. If you ask me right now, Russ, who's the best player in the NBA, which would be the best player in the world, I'd have to say Kevin Durant.
I'd have to say him, or I might say Kawhi because of what Kawhi can do on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you Kevin Durant. I'm okay with that. And I'm not a Kevin Durant fan. I'm not. Who would I rather have on my team? I would say Kawhi, but I can't argue with Kevin Durant.
Yeah. And I don't – and I'm not going to – yeah. I think those are the two that would – that would come to mind. But when Michael Jordan was 34 years old, would anybody else had even entered the discussion?
No, not at all.
I mean,
not at all.
As to who the best player in the league was, and look, and that's not to.
And there were other people who won MVP.
Yeah,
but we still knew who the best player was.
Yeah, right, exactly. And Michael Jordan at 34 years old played in 82 games. Averaged 38.8 minutes a game, averaged 28.7 points a game, and won a championship. That's what he was doing at 34. LeBron James is sitting at home watching the playoffs.
Now, I'll give you this, that LeBron has played longer because he skipped college.
He skipped college, and he didn't have to he wasn't suspended a season and a half for gambling. What? Why are you sighing?
Because I spilt water on my laptop. Well, and your hatred of Michael.
I don't hate Michael Jordan. Why do you think I hate Michael Jordan?
I don't know why you hate
Michael. I didn't twist his arm and make him gamble on those games and get suspended.
Okay. I don't even know what to say to that. You're like an earther. You're like a flat earther.
There's probably somebody under 24 years old like Googling right now, did Michael Jordan really get suspended? No, he went and played baseball.
The answer is no, he did not. Did he gamble on games? I don't know. I know he gambled on everything else. I don't know what he gambled on basketball-wise, but I know he gambled on everything else. And yes, I did spill water on.
Is it still working over there?
Oh, sure.
What's this forearm band you're wearing? Are you getting ready to check into the scorer's table?
No, I tore a ligament in
my
elbow.
Right. You're all...
And it hurts.
Messed up.
There are days it hurts and days it doesn't hurt, so when it hurts, I put this on. Because you know what it does, right? It puts the pressure on the muscle.
No, I don't know what
and
it
then
does.
And it takes pressure off your tendon in your elbow.
Well, you been playing tennis on the side?
I've been lifting weights.
Oh, that's right. You work out. I haven't done anything physical in the last 2 weeks. I've been trying to get rid of this. It's this congestion in my chest. I can't breathe. It sucks, man. I walk to the car and I'm out of breath. I should probably go see the doctor, right? I hate going to the doctor. I'm like the poster child for, you know, these commercials that you hear during the Braves game or during the Falcons game. What's your health rating? Well, it's okay to go to the doctor. Da 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 da.
It is okay to go to the doctor.
I'm that guy. I'm who they're talking to. Well, I go to the doctor when I'm sick.
Between the two of us, we even out because I go every day.
Yeah, like you live at the doctor's office.
Between the allergist, the ENT. The dentist, who else? My regular doctor. Well, they call it family doctor.
Family practitioner.
Family practitioner.
Yes.
And I have one more. I've got five different doctors. I don't go see them a lot, but I do. I'm on like a regular schedule. So, and you never go. So I'm evening you out. We're balancing out the scales of the universe.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, but balancing out the scales.
You need to go to the doctor, man.
I will. I'm going for my.
You already got Bill sick. Who else you get sick?
Lindsay.
Your wife. Yeah. You probably got the kid sick.
No, I got it from him. It's all his fault. He's the one that gave it to me.
They get it at school?
Yeah.
Can't trust those places.
It's a germ. I mean, my whole family lives in a germ factory. And please, for the love of God, vaccinate your children.
Oh my gosh.
Can we? I mean, what else do you? What other pseudoscience are you people buying out there where they don't vaccinate their kids?
Have you seen the stuff about the mumps
and the measles?
And the measles?
Yeah, it's out of control, man.
I don't need that crap. No. Keep that away from me.
No.
I told Ben, Ben's looking for a roommate for college. I said, the one thing you got to make sure is make sure they're vaccinated. I don't care about anything. I don't care about their religious beliefs, their political beliefs. You can live with whoever you want to, but you make sure they're vaccinated because I don't want you getting sick and then you have to be in the hospital because you're living with some idiot who won't get vaccinated.
Yeah, no kidding. Vaccinate your kids. My gosh. I don't mean to get on that. And I've got
How did we get on that?
I don't know, but I've got a political topic lined up for the 12 o'clock hour.
Do you really?
I guess I'm just getting warmed
up.
Yes,
sir.
Well, I don't normally talk politics.
Yeah, we usually stay away from politics.
But, you know, it crosses over into sports sometimes, and there's just something going on right now that just, it gets my goat, you know? And I'm not, if you listen to this, I wouldn't really describe myself as a liberal or a conservative.
No, you're not.
I don't know what I am.
And I'm
confused.
I'm more down the middle than.
No, you're not. You hate grits. There's nothing down the middle about that. You got problems, sir.
That doesn't have anything to do with political stuff.
I think it does.
You think so?
I think it does. I think your mind would expand and open if you ate grits. And you wouldn't be so close-minded about your beliefs.
I am close-minded about stuff. If I know that I don't like it, I'm not going to try it. I'm okay with that. I told you I broke up with a girl in college because she tried to feed me something I didn't want.
She must have been ugly. I mean, for that to be your line in the sand.
It was the last straw.
Did she have body odor?
No, it was the last straw.
How is that your line in the sand?
I don't know. It made me mad. We were at a restaurant.
What'd she look? Was she cute?
She was cute. She wasn't in my starting five. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, well, see, that's what it is. She was ugly. And you were just looking for a reason.
She wasn't ugly.
You're an awful human being.
I'm not an awful human being.
Why didn't you just dump that girl because she was fat?
Look, I'm very shallow. I will give you that. I'm as shallow as they come. I'm like the baby pool over here. I'm very shallow. But she was not ugly. She just wasn't.
Uh-huh.
Yes, if she'd have been somebody else, if she'd have been Laura, I would have lived with it.
All right, well, there's a picture floating around right now. The 2019 SI swimsuit cover is Tyra Banks.
If it was Tyra and she said, and Daniel, I could have said, okay, Tyra, whatever you say.
You're going to eat grits, right?
Yeah. Probably not grits, but I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of pie.
Wait. No?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Okay.
If it was some... I can't. I'm not even that stupid. I'm dumb. I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
It was some kind of pot pie, but it wasn't chicken pot pie, and it had some weird stuff mixed in it. And... Because I've eaten...
Was this at a restaurant?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I eat chicken pot pie all the time.
Yeah.
It was something like that, but it was chicken, but it had all this other... It might have had... fish in it. You know I don't like fish.
No, that's true. You don't like fish. This is a long list.
And I've tried fish. I don't like it. It's okay not to like things. We don't have to all like the same thing.
Yeah, but you don't like anything.
It's not true.
You don't like grits. You don't like fish. You don't.
That's it.
That's it?
That's my list.
Well, we had to force you to force feed you mac and cheese.
You didn't force me to feed me. I ate it.
Have you had it since?
I have.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Laura, that's a big win
Laura
for us.
Laura made some... Where was she make it or somebody made some like mac and cheese like stuff for graduation?
All right. I mean anything Laura makes. Your wife can flat out cook, man.
My sister found my grandmother's recipe for her biscuits in my mom's cookbook.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, we should have a competition, see who can make these the best. And Laura replied, well, you know who's going to win? And my other sister replied, yeah, we do know.
Wow, she's cocky,
she
too.
She was talking trash.
Kind of like that. Little kitchen trash
she
talk
was
there.
Joking, but yeah.
Sure, but it's not. That's probably true, man. That stuff she made at Christmas one time with the candy-coated peanuts, my God.
Yeah, she's...
That was some good stuff right there.
I'm waiting for Father's Day to see what she's going to bake me.
Oh, we got Mother's Day coming up
this
weekend.
Chocolate chip cookies or something. Yeah, Mother's Day is this weekend.
Don't forget to take care of Mom.
I ordered her a present, and I thought it was next weekend.
Oh, do you buy her presents for Mother's Day?
I do buy her one.
I say, I don't... Should I be doing that? I don't do
that.
You
should get her something from Oli.
Well, he gets the present. Like, I'll tell you, he picks it out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll take him. Okay. Like, Saturday, we're going to pick something out for Mom.
I mean, I don't give her anything from me.
Gotcha.
It's from the boys.
Now, last year, I dropped the ball. And had to go out at the last minute and go get something.
I almost dropped the ball this year because I was thinking it was next weekend.
No, it's this was Sunday. Sunday
and I
is Mother's
something
Day.
Something it said 7 to 10 days. Uh-oh. And then I started thinking about this morning. I called them and I said, is it going to be here? And they said, oh, yeah, we're delivering it today.
Yeah. Well, I jumped in the truck because I was like, oh, crap. It was a Saturday afternoon before. And I rode out to this spa, not one of those truck driver side of the road creepy spas, like not a Robert Kraft spa, like a legitimate like spa, beauty salon. And they were closed. And I knocked on the door and I peeked in, but it was tinted and I couldn't see. And I walked away and I said a bad word. But I wasn't mad at the people there. They were closed. But luckily, there was a young lady inside and she said, sir, can I help you? And I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I forgot to get my wife something for Mother's Day for my kid. And I ended up, I mean, she got a really nice Mother's Day present.
That's cool.
I hope she's not listening because she doesn't know that story.
Well, Laura told me the other day that I got her something nice for Mother's Day. That she picked out herself.
That's how it works sometimes, said, when you're married.
Hey, I'm fine with that. I don't have to go look and shop.
There you go.
I'm not good at it.
Well, I'm glad you like it, honey. Enjoy. We got to take a break for the top of the hour. More of the Midday Sports Zone right after this.
It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Middle Georgia's ESPN.
Hour number two of the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley with you. We've got Stan Autry on the way here in half an hour. We'll talk some golf with him with the fake major on the way. We're a week away from the fake major. By the way.
Oh, my God. You're going to die on that hill, right?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I don't feel like I'm... I mean, it seems obvious. I don't know why the rest of the world can't figure out there's only three majors in golf, but whatever.
So, is there how many Triple Crown races are there?
Three.
There's, I mean, come on.
The Preakness, the Belmont Stakes.
There's one real race that matters.
Well, you are correct this year because Country
Every
House.
Year.
No, Country House isn't going to race in the Preakness.
How many of those races do you watch every year? Well, you didn't even watch the Kentucky Derby.
Well, ever since American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, I kind of tapped out. But no, if Country House raced in the Preakness and won that, I would watch the Belmont because he's going for the Triple Crown.
The Derby is so much higher on a level than those other two races. Those other two races don't matter.
They only matter if the horse from the Kentucky Derby wins it.
Is the Preakness next?
Yeah.
That's right. And then the Belmont.
And Country House isn't in it, so you're right. It doesn't matter.
The ratings on that are going to be like...
In the toilet.
Like President's Cup kind of ratings or WNBA kind of ratings. Nobody's going to watch that.
Wow. You're right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. But no, the PGA Championship is... It's a big... Look, in all seriousness, it's a big tournament. So we'll you and Stan will talk about it.
Okay. I'm okay with that. I love talking golf with Stan. We had a lot of fun when we were at the Masters.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed it.
By the way, from the secret text line, we were talking about food in the last segment. Go figure. Daniel is not qualified to talk about food on the radio as picky as he is. And this is coming from somebody that knows
food. Well, I know that. Food. And I eat his food.
And it's good.
So I'm not picky. I mean, his food's really good. I shouldn't have said that. That didn't sound right because his food's really, really good.
It's outstanding. But
everything he's ever put in front of me, I've eaten. Except if he puts grits in front of me, I'm not eating it.
I knew you were going to say that.
There's two things I won't eat.
Why? What are you doing? Wait, you're like a four-year-old.
Two things.
It looks gross, Mommy.
Two things.
What?
Grits and most fish.
Have you ever had grits?
No, we know that. We have established that.
But it still blows my mind that you are, as a grown man, you won't even try it.
Not going to happen.
That is
now. I've tried
talk
fish.
About dying on a hill.
What's worse, that I won't eat grits or that I don't like fish?
That you won't try grits.
Yeah,
that's worse.
I mean, I'm.
It's not even close.
It's like a badge of honor now. I'm never going to try it now. Just
one day you're gonna. I'm telling you, man. One day we're all gonna sit in a room. We're all gonna be sitting at the table. You're gonna have a bowl of grits. Bill's gonna have a cup of coffee. It's gonna be
Bill
one big
will
happy
drink
family.
A cup of coffee. I will eat a bowl of grits. There's my line right there in the sand.
And I'll go to the doctor.
And you'll go to the doctor before you die from the damn pneumonia or whatever it is you have, coughing all over everybody.
Let's get a phone call, 478-646-ESPN. Joe's in Warner Robins. What's up, Joe?
Good afternoon, guys.
How's it going, man?
Well, first I'd like to say Daniel, as a former Cavalier graduate and current alumnus, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I didn't know you graduated. I didn't know you went to school there.
Yeah, Mount DeSales,
04,
class of
04. Okay. Golly, 04.
God, I didn't realize you were such a baby.
How young are you?
Joe. Wow.
How old are you? What are you, 20?
I'm 33 going on 79.
Hey, I'm with you there, man. We go live in the old folks' home together for sure.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I'll feed you grits when you don't have any teeth.
There it is.
So, no, I thought I'd say, you know, real quick, you know, it seems like the day that hell's going to freeze over is Daniel's going to eat grits. Russ is going to acknowledge that the fourth major is the PGA.
There you go.
And Bill's going to root for the Saints.
You know? No, that's never going to happen. That last one's never going to happen. You can forget that.
I thought it was interesting talking about the PGA. And in my opinion, it's the fourth best golf major of the year. John Daly, have you seen the news on him today?
I have not. What's up with John Daly?
John Daly will compete. But because of his bad knee, he will be riding in a cart.
Yeah, they're going to let him ride in a cart.
He should be. John Daly needs to be in a cart just because he's John Daly. Well, I'm okay with that.
He probably shouldn't be playing in the PGA Championship, to be honest.
But now he's got an exemption because he won it. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
no. That's about it. Now, Bryce Harper's grand slam. And, Owen, why is it that every time a pitcher throws a no-hitter, it's with the Oakland A's?
That's a great question, Joe. We appreciate
Thanks,
the phone
Joe,
call.
Appreciate it.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I didn't even know that it happened. I was at the gym this morning, and there it is on the screen. I'm like, a no-hitter happened last night, and I had no idea.
Yep.
Now, I was asleep, so that's part of it. But
well, yeah, it was the Oakland A's, as Joe said. Obviously, they started about the same time the Braves did last night, and it was Friars. Who Mike Fiers. I always want to say Friars. It's Fiers.
He threw one for the Astros, too.
Did he really?
In 2015, yeah.
So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I thought Ryu was going to throw one last night. He was perfect through five innings. And, I mean, the Braves weren't touching his butt last night.
They said he's one of eight players in history to throw a no-hitter for more than one team.
Wow. And threw 131 pitches. Imagine that. And this is how baseball is sometimes, right? So last night, and by the way, Max Fried, I saw an update a few minutes ago from Mark Bowman. Nothing official on Max Fried. He got hit on the hand with the line drive last night. But it looks like the Braves dodged a bullet. It doesn't seem like anything's broken. Brian Snitker was quoted as saying, you know, there's a lot of little bones in the hand. And it looks like he's going to be okay. And when we get something official, we'll certainly pass it along. But last night, Max Fried, and he wasn't sharp last night. They jumped on him pretty good. Then he gets hit in the hand. So his final line score is one inning pitch, and he gave up four earned runs, right? Horrible night. Horrible night for your line score. Kills your ERA. Max Fried's ERA is now 2.97. Meanwhile, Fiers goes out, throws a no-hitter, strikes out six, walks two on 131 pitches, and his ERA dips down to 5.48.
Well, they said he had been terrible. And again, admittedly, I haven't watched many Oakland A's baseball games
this
year.
You're not the only one. Don't worry.
But I was watching. They were saying he had been terrible this year.
Yeah.
And then the Reds had been just killing the ball the last 2 weeks. They'd scored like 15 runs in their last three games or something like that, or last two games or something. Mm-hmm. But they'd been really ripping the cover off the ball, and then he had been terrible, and then you have that ends up being the mix. That's how crazy baseball is. You just never know.
And that's why, you know, every once in a while, a game will come around based off the pitching matchups or whatever the case may be, and I always say, don't bet on baseball.
That's right.
That's why. You never know, man. And that's – I always talk about how, you know, people get into which sport they like better than the other sports and why, and I don't really fall into that because it's the uniqueness of the sports that kind of draw me in, and that's something that's unique about baseball, man. It is such a 50-50 sport on a given day. You never know what's going to happen. That's why they play so many games, because it takes that many games to separate
right
who's good and who's bad. There's ebbs, there's flows, injuries, and just all kind of stuff. Weather.
Well, that's why you can't get upset if you go play the Marlins and if you're the Braves and you – now, if you lose the series, you probably get upset.
Get a little bit, yeah.
But if you play three games and you lose a game – you don't get upset because there's so many games and anything can happen.
Anything can happen. And then like a game like tonight against the Dodgers where, I mean, the Braves have been really handled by L.A. This has not been a competitive series. So if they win a game tonight, I think you take it, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the way these first two have gone, and, oh, by the way, Clayton Kershaw's on the mound. So
you don't go into this game thinking, oh, we're going to beat Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. But hell, it very well easily could happen.
Yeah, Mike Fiers can throw a no-hitter, right? Hey,
that's
right. We can take Kershaw deep a couple times.
That's right.
And Folty on the mound tonight for the Braves, and obviously we're going to be watching the velocity. We're going to be looking at the location, seeing how he feels about that stuff. And the really, beyond everything that we've discussed this season, beyond the series with the Dodgers, what has me most concerned right now is the starting rotation, because you have Folty dealing with the elbow stuff, Gausman facing a suspension at some point, and now Max Fried getting hit on the hand. And, you know, it's not performance-based, my concern. It is availability-based. And it looks like – because, I mean, look, if Folty comes out tonight and he's 92-93 again, they may have to get that elbow looked at. And that's that's not something you really want to talk about, because when you start talking about pitchers and elbows, I mean, if it's...
Look at Max Fried, how long he was out with his stuff. I mean, it was, what, almost 2 years, right?
Right. I mean, we could be talking... That's the thing. I mean, if we're talking about an elbow with Folty in May and it's worst-case scenario, we're talking 2021.
Right.
So that's a huge concern. And Gausman, hopefully he can get that suspension reduced. And it looks like they dodged a bullet with Fried. But, you know, that's... Think about baseball. You start getting issues with the rotation, and that can send your season south in a hurry.
Yeah, it really can, and you have to be careful with that. You have to be smart about it. That's what look. What were we said? The Braves the entire spring they were cautious, That's why you don't mess around with elbows for pitchers.
You don't, and you got if you don't have starting pitching, you don't have a chance. Let's get in one more quick phone call here before the break. Ken's in Macon. What's up, killer?
How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Man, I watched them Braves again last night. They just got tore up.
It's brutal, isn't it, man?
It looked like to me Braves not even on the same planet as the Dodgers are. And I just don't know what to think. I guess it's going to be a while for the Braves to beat that team. I mean, it looked like they might be the team to go to the World Series.
I think so. Yeah. Hey, appreciate the call, Ken. The good news is there's a lot of baseball left, and when the Braves do get on that level, you're talking about a World Series contender, and right. It's going to happen.
Right.
It may not be this year, but it's going
to
happen.
And I mean, and hell, you just hope maybe somebody else takes them out before you have to see them. I mean, that's part of it.
You know, hey, yeah.
You don't want to be like that, but maybe somebody can take them out, and you don't even have to run into them.
Nobody's ever won a championship they apologized for.
Nope.
I'll tell you that.
Not at all.
Right now. So, anyway, that's...
Not at all.
But, yeah, Ken, it's been awful, man. You can't sugarcoat the way these first two games of the series has gone, and especially when we were looking forward to it as kind of a test to see where you are. I don't think we like what we're seeing right now. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to delve into those political waters.
Oh, gently. No. Here we go.
Back with more right after this.
Hello.
Twelve fifteen. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley with you. We are back here on the Midday Sports Zone. Okay, so here's the thing that I wanted to talk about real quick, because it's popped up and it's driving me crazy. Because and this isn't anything new in politics, but this is the reason I don't follow it, because it just makes people ignorant. I don't know how else to say it.
And the thing about that, ignorant is not that's the thing. If you call somebody ignorant and they think you're insulting them, it's not like calling somebody stupid.
No. I'm ignorant.
Ignorant just means you don't know the fact. Like, I'm ignorant of a lot of things.
Sure. Like, what a major is in golf. But anyway.
You are me. You talking about yourself there?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But no, Nick Bosa is in trouble for some things that he's tweeted in the past. And he's deleted the tweets and he's apologized for the tweets. He tweeted, Kaepernick is a clown. Talking about Colin Kaepernick. Ironically, he's been drafted by the 49ers.
Yep.
And then I don't know who Tomi Lahren is, but she tweeted way back in 2017, just, you know, some pictures of Colin Kaepernick wearing a Fidel Castro T-shirt, wearing socks depicting police officers as pigs, and taking a knee during the anthem, and she didn't like it.
Right.
Those things happen. Those are facts. I mean, when he wore those socks, I mean, that's kind of the stuff that people leave out. When he wore the T-shirt with Fidel Castro on it, when people talk about Colin Kaepernick in support of him, those are the things they leave out. They leave them out for convenient reasons. And now Nick Bosa is in trouble for that. But my take on it is this. This is what I don't understand. when Laura Ingraham comes out, as opposed to NBA players speaking out about political things and say they should just stick to basketball, if you think Nick Bosa should have apologized and deleted his tweets, you are Laura Ingraham. You're the same person. Right. And that's what drives me crazy about this stuff. Why is it okay for one group of athletes to be outspoken but not another group of athletes to be outspoken? Either you think athletes should be outspoken or you don't think they should be outspoken. But the problem is people only care if they agree with you.
Right.
Well, so here's the thing. If you were offended when she said stick to basketball and you think Nick Bosa should have deleted his tweets, you're the same person that said stick to basketball is basically what I'm saying. That's right. The same person.
Right. It's like – and look, I don't agree with what Nick Bosa said, but that's part of living in this country.
Right.
We're allowed not to agree on things.
Sure.
A lot of things that happened yesterday that I didn't agree with.
Well, I just think, I mean, I will say this about Kaepernick. I think it's hypocritical to talk about oppression and wear a Fidel Castro shirt.
No,
I mean, that's just a fact.
That's
hypocrisy.
You talk about being ignorant. That's him being ignorant.
Right.
And I'm not going to say he's stupid because I don't think he's stupid. He's a bright young man. But you talk about oppression while you're wearing a Fidel Castro shirt, that's ignorant.
Right.
And that needs to be pointed out. And so I don't agree with everything Colin Kaepernick says. I don't know that I agree with a lot of the things that he says, but that's his right.
Sure.
It's also Nick Bosa's right to say that. It's LeBron's right to say, don't tell me to stick to basketball. These guys are citizens of this country. It is their right to express their opinions like it is yours, like it is mine, like it is anybody's.
Sure.
And to tell somebody to stick to basketball or stick to football, that's offensive.
It is.
That's telling them they don't have the same rights that you do.
Right. And that's what I don't understand. How people get so wrapped up in their political beliefs, they lose that ability to reason. And they just see things on their side, period. I don't understand why the Niners took Nick Bosa second because he didn't play most of the season. Obviously, he's very extremely talented because everybody had him projected to go there. So I'm probably wrong about that. I mean, from a chemistry standpoint, if somebody is outspoken politically as a general manager, you have to take that into account. But that's as far as I go with it.
Right.
I mean, Richard Sherman's got some quotes out saying he doesn't care what Nick Bosa says as long as he can play.
Right.
And that's the way. I mean, to me, you're talking about a football team. You know, if I was on a football team with Colin Kaepernick and he was good enough to be the NFL MVP and lead us to a Super Bowl, I don't give a damn what he does. I want to win the Super Bowl. And I think sometimes people lose sight of the fact that, you know, I don't have a problem with athletes being outspoken, but remember, they are athletes. And the media in this country has just gotten so irresponsible that when they tell these stories, they just leave things out to facilitate whatever side it is they're taking. And that's where I just want to come in and say, look, if you think Laura Ingraham was right in saying stick to basketball, you're probably okay in thinking that Nick Bosa needs to apologize for what he tweeted. But if you see those things two different ways, you're missing it.
You're probably worse than she. Well,
you're missing it.
I wondered if she would probably say that. Nick Bosa. Yeah, you're her. Because she would be okay with Nick Bosa saying that because she's seeing it from one side.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. You got to be able to take a step back and see things for what they are sometimes. And it's not – you don't have to agree with what people say. But just try to reach some level of understanding. And, you know, it just – and the other part of it too is, and this is just good advice on life, is this going to matter in 100 years?
No.
I mean, all anybody wanted to talk about in the NFL 2 years ago was ratings decline and anthem protests. That's not even a conversation.
It's not
now.
Even a topic anymore,
it's,
right?
It's, right. It's not that big of a deal.
No.
It's just not. Maybe it was at the time and people get all wrapped up in it. But I also think people crave drama.
I do. I think you're right. It's like we're back in high school. It's like we're 14, 15-year-old kids, and we like drama. And I don't like drama. And look, if Richard Sherman says, I don't care what he says as long as he plays, there might be somebody else on the team that doesn't agree. There probably is somebody else on the team that doesn't
agree.
Sure. And that's fine. That is fine. And if there's somebody else on the team that says, hey, I need you to explain to me your point of view, and Nick Bosa explains it to him, they still don't agree. There's 53 guys in a roster.
Yeah, you're not all
going to
agree.
You think they're all going to agree?
That's 53 different points of view.
There's no way in hell. There's two of us in here. We don't agree on everything, no. And that's fine.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're an idiot. I'm not. It's fine.
I've been called worse.
I'm just messing
I've been
with
called
you.
Worse than that by better people, so that's I'm good with that.
You got that last part right, that's for sure. Oh my goodness gracious. But yeah, and then normally I don't dip my toe into the political water, but every once in a while, and I don't necessarily agree with what Nick Bosa tweeted, but I also think he has the right to say it.
He has the right, and like you said, is he right? I don't know. But his he does have the right to say it.
Yeah, so anyway. There's,
and he if he doesn't want to apologize, he doesn't have to. He has to live with his teammates in that locker room. And they have to live with him. And if they're okay with that, then that's fine.
Yeah. Should we take a phone call on this?
Sure.
All right, let's go to the phones real quick before the break here. Dallas is on with us. What's up, man?
Hey, Russ, I agree with 99% of the things you say, but whenever you don't stand for the flag, you lose it, your rights. I mean,
well, but see, that's the thing. You don't. I mean, I don't agree with it either, but you don't lose your rights for that. That's kind of the whole freedom.
Okay,
of,
look, have you ever had anybody in the military in your family?
Yes. My father's in a veteran's home right now.
My dad and my brother were both in the Air Force. My brother-in-law was a Marine.
Okay, so he sacrificed his life, and yet he won't stand for the flag.
Oh, it bothers me too, but I'm with you on that. It bothers me too, but he's got, I mean, unless the league or the team tells him he can't do it, he's got a right to do that. Besides, he's not even employed by the NFL, so it's a moot point anyway.
Right.
I know, but I mean,
you know,
football's a game, it's a sport, and you know, it's a good time. But them people over there that sacrifice their life, they're over there having a good time.
No, they're not. Yeah.
You need to put football with football and military. That's totally different. I mean, yeah. My dad was in Vietnam twice and died. And if you don't respect the flag, I don't respect you, and you shouldn't. You should even be in this country.
And you have every right to feel that way, too. And I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying at all, but I do believe in freedom of speech.
That's right. And I
believe me, I appreciate your service, because my dad was in Vietnam, too, and he got a shrapnel in his knee and was spit on when he was brought home, like, the whole nine yards. So, believe me, I hear you, man. But, I mean, you can't pick and choose.
Have the freedom just because you agree with it. Right.
We can't sit here and pick and choose who has rights and who doesn't has rights based on whether or not we agree with them. That's the point that people are missing. We were watching Jeopardy last night, and there was a civics teacher on, and it's like, why don't we teach that in school anymore? Because everybody wants to quote the Constitution and quote this and quote that, but it's like they don't understand what these things actually mean.
That's right.
I mean, it's not about whether or not you disagree or disagree with somebody. That has nothing to do with
it. I don't agree with Kaepernick. I don't agree with the guys kneeling to the flag now, or kneeling during the national anthem. I don't think it has anything to do with the flag itself, but they are kneeling during the national anthem. I don't agree with that. That's their right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in this country I don't agree with, but it's the people's right to do
it. Right. And it's our right not to like it, and it's our right not to watch if that's what
that's
we
right.
choose to do.
That's right.
I mean, that's just the way it works. I mean, you're not going to win an argument on that.
No, you're
not. You're just, nobody is. Nobody is.
Nope.
Now, we do appreciate the call, man.
Yep, thanks, man.
And believe me, I feel your pain on the service part of that. We got to take a break. All right, let's get to golf.
Let's talk some golf.
Never been so excited to talk about a fake major in my life. I knew you waded into those waters, man.
You're not allowed to talk golf anymore because you're so ignorant about golf.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. We're back with more right after this. Oh, wow. Slow Jams bringing us back in. 12:30, Russ and Daniel with you. Time to talk some golf.
That sounds like golf music.
Does it?
Sound like...
No,
golf music. I mean, it's quiet.
It's quiet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Quiet and slow.
Should we do the entire interview?
No.
Won't do that.
We don't need to do that.
Stan Autry, our Swiss Army knife. He covers the Yellow Jackets for White and Gold. He also writes for Golf Georgia Magazine, and we can talk some golf with him. Hello, Stan.
Hello. You won't believe this. I'm actually drinking an Arnold Palmer.
That's perfect.
Awesome.
That is absolutely perfect. Well, yeah, we figured with spring practice behind us and headed towards the summer now, we could really start to concentrate on the golf and the PGA Championship coming up right around the corner. And you know, Daniel and I have been kind of cutting up the entire show because I'm not as avid a golf fan as he is. So I haven't... outside of Tiger getting the presidential honor this week. I haven't really paid close attention since the Masters. Who's playing well right now?
It's the same old group, you know, that you come to expect, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week at the PGA. Just the fact that it's in the spring, you know, early summer instead of like it's been, so kind of a curious time.
Stan, have you been to Bethpage before?
I have never been to Bethpage.
Okay,
so I can only know what I've seen and what I've read about it. It's an incredibly difficult place, and the fact that you got 9 million Yankees yelling at you every shot, that makes it even better.
What do you think about the difference in a setup? Because we've seen it set up for the U.S. Open, but how will it be differently set up for the PGA, do you think?
I think it'll be similar, but it'll be playable. You know, the USGA is just stupid in the way they do things. The PGA Championship's done a lot better. I think if you ask the players, that's what they want. I think you'll see it's going to be a very good competitive tournament. And I think, you know, we've kind of got a preview of that at the Masters because the leaderboard at Augusta was so good. And there's just so many good young players, good players, period, across the board. And I think that's what we're in for. You know, it'll be a great tournament.
Stan, when you see a major at a public course like this, do you think that's good for golf? Because, you know, you look at lay people like ourselves. I mean, that's a place where we could go play.
Theoretically, it is, but I honestly don't think it really matters. Pebble Beach is a place we can play. That's that's a public course too.
Yeah.
If you got $500, you can go play it. And Bethpage, they try to make sure people don't come up there and play it because it's a hard, hard golf course. In fact, there's a legendary sign that basically says, this is a hard golf course, and you've got no business playing it if you're above like a 5 handicap. But, you know, people slog up there and try to do it. I don't get the whole thing. I think you want the championships on the best golf courses possible.
Stan, when you look at Tiger and he won the Masters, and you were there, I was there, and it just kind of set the whole golf world on its ear. What do you think realistically are his chances next week of winning that tournament?
Well, I don't think they're really that good. Again, he can win the Masters every year just because he can. I mean, he knows that place inside and out, backwards and forwards, just in his nature. He's played there so much. Beth Page is not like that. It opens the doors to a whole lot of different people. Power is going to be really, important there. I think, if anything, Mickelson may have a better shot. He's played well at Beth Page, and for some reason, the people love him up there. So this may be a week that he kind of sneaks in, but I wouldn't really expect that either.
Stan, what about Rory McIlroy? I mean, he was playing so well going into the Masters, and everybody thought he was the favorite. I thought he was the favorite, and then he really was never in contention, and he hadn't done a whole lot since. Can he get it turned around, you think, and get back in the mix?
Yeah, with he certainly got the distance, and I think he'll play well there. Again, it just comes down to who's putting the ball well that week, and I think he'll be in the mix. I wouldn't pick him to win. I think until somebody decides Brooks Koepka is a great guy. I think Dustin Johnson's a great pick for next week. But I think any of the top 15 or 20 guys have a chance. I don't think this is going to be a PGA Championship where you're going to get a Y.E. Yang or Jason Duffner that's going to emerge. This is going to be an established guy who's probably already won one or two majors.
Good stuff. Well, we're certainly looking forward to it. Stan, hey, if you're not busy next week, we're actually going to go play Pebble Beach. Daniel's paying for everything.
Well, I would love to do that. I'm playing Shinnecock on Monday.
Okay.
I'll see if I can mix that
up. All right, sounds good. Hey, we appreciate the time. Great stuff as always, Stan. Take care.
Thanks, Gary.
Enjoy that Arnold Palmer.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks, bud.
All right, it's Stan Autry.
Stan, something else, man.
Covers the Yellow Jackets for whiteandgold.com and also writes for golfgeorgia.com. You can find Golf Georgia online, but writes for that magazine as well. So
does a great job.
Great golf guy and the Swiss Army knife of the show, as I like to call him. And did you hear me during the interview refer to it as a major?
You did. I'm very proud of you.
I was very professional.
Very proud of you.
I can turn it on.
It's not all about you.
No, thank God. That'd be kind of boring. No, I'm professional.
I mean, you talk about me being closed-minded, and there you are saying the PGA's not a major forever.
I think you're confusing closed-minded for honest. I think you're getting those two things mixed up.
All right.
Because it's not a major. But no, but see, the thing is, the way they've changed, in all seriousness, with the way they've changed the calendar and this being so close to the Masters, I'm more excited about the PGA Championship than I normally would.
Oh, I love this, man. I absolutely love it because the PGA has always been in August.
And it was just kind of lost out there,
and
right?
And it gets lost. And they tried to, what was it, the Glory's Last Shot or something like they called it. They made this weird name up for it a few years ago to give it a nickname to so people would pay more attention to it. But people had turned their attention to football by then.
Yeah, we really had.
And you went like before. You had the Players Championship in March, and then the Masters, and then you skipped to the U.S. Open on Father's Day, then the British in July, and then the PGA in August. And they moved the Players to May to try to keep one big tournament in each month. Well, I mean, that worked okay, but the PGA still was sitting out there by itself, and it was overlooked. But now this, I love this. I love the fact that they've done it. They've moved the Players back to March, where it should be. Masters is always going to be in April. This is in May. Then the U.S. Open in June and the British in July. And you've got that five-month window of where golf can really have one big tournament every month. Mm-hmm. And then you still have the Tour Championship in August, but it'll move up. You know, even though Tiger won the Tour Championship last year, it was, again, it's in football season. People are saying, I mean, I remember us talking about it. Are we going to watch that or are we going to watch a football game?
Right.
Now you don't have to worry about that. And it was such a good decision to kind of condense the schedule. And you still have the tournaments, the wraparound tournaments in October and whatever that just golf fans are going to watch. I mean, real, real golf fans are going to watch. But this is great to have one big tournament like this every month and you can build your schedule around it. I think it's great. And I do think there's going to be more attention on this tournament.
I think so.
Because it's in May and because Tiger won the Masters.
Sure. Well, yeah, and we can't ignore the Tiger part of that equation. That is for sure. And I'll say, you know, with it being before the U.S. Open and the British Open too, I can look at this more as a major because it always felt like to me,
right,
after the British Open in July, golf season was done.
It was over because you're not a big golf fan.
No. Right. And July is training camp.
Right.
August is fall practice and September is football season.
I mean, how much of the Wells Fargo Championship did you watch last week? None.
Zero. Zilch.
I say I did. No. I mean, and that we, you know, so we're going to watch different levels of golf, but to bring in more fans like you, this had to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did it.
And I think I will definitely pay closer attention now. And I might even start calling it a major.
And it's not even just because Tiger won. Now, look, if going to the U.S. Open after a Tiger win, but see, there would have been 2 months in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been 2 months between April and the middle of June.
Mm-hmm. It makes a difference.
So you would have lost a little bit of that Tiger bounce that there has happened with him winning the Masters.
Was that a Winnie the Pooh reference?
Sure, that's fine.
That was a bad joke.
It's a TV phrase. You get a bounce.
No, you're right. No. He gives a bounce, moves the needle. He checks all the boxes.
I mean, how many golfers move the needle for casual
he's it.
Fans?
He's
one.
It. No, that's there's a one-word answer to that.
That's right.
There just absolutely is. There's just no two ways about it. We'll take a break. We'll wrap it up on this Wednesday right after this. 12:45, Russ and Daniel back with you. What's so funny? What are you giggling at over there?
I'll turn that crap off.
Come on now.
If people realized the preparation of the show,
hours.
They would be so offended.
Hours. Hours and hours and hours.
Oh, my God. Oh, you got me right before we came back on the air. So, sorry about that.
Oh, man. So.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
That was good.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week. So we got Braves Dodgers tonight wrapping up the series. It doesn't look good. I mean, the Dodgers have just dominated the first two games of the series, and tonight you got Clayton Kershaw and Mike Foltynewicz. I'm worried about Folty. It's kind of like there's the game of this, right? There's the actual game that's going to be played and how it pertains to the series, but there's a bigger picture thing going on here with Foltynewicz, and I just – if he's out there 93-94 again, don't you have to get him looked at?
Yeah, and the thing about that is how important is it for him to have a good start after last night?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look how deep you had to go into the bullpen last night because Fried got hurt. Now, Fried wasn't pitching well either. And just the way he was pitching, he probably wasn't going to go very long.
No, he wasn't.
So you had to use up your bullpen a little bit last night, and now you're going to have to – if you had to do that again today, you could cause some problems for this team for a few days because of just the way the schedule is going to work out.
Yeah. Well, Alex Verdugo hit the line drive last night that hit Max Fried in the hand, kind of hand, forearm, wrist area. I wasn't watching at the time. I was listening to it on radio. And, you know, he grabbed the ball and threw two pitches. And apparently, Rick Kranitz, the pitching coach, after that second pitch was like, nope, he's done.
Yep.
And the initial x-rays were negative. So that was the good news there.
Right.
And I'm sure we'll get a further update this afternoon. But it was a little bit of a scare. And I'm worried about this rotation right now because of what's happening with Folty's velocity, Fried getting hit, and then, of course, we Gausman's still facing that suspension. It looks like what they're going to try to do is keep appealing it. He'll make his scheduled start, and then they're trying to get it reduced to four so he doesn't miss a start.
Right. Well, the good thing about last night was Tomlin went four innings and kind of kept you.
Yeah.
I mean, they did use four relievers, but Tomlin really kind of saved the day.
He did.
I know they lost the game, and it wasn't close, but Tomlin came in and really kept them, because if he comes in and isn't good, and then you got to use – seven or eight pitchers, then you got some trouble. But
yeah.
Foltynewicz, man, I the thing about him, like you said, and you said it earlier, when you start talking about an elbow and a guy losing velocity, when you lose velocity, it's not like you get that back.
Right.
I mean, is he going to have to become kind of that gritty, gutty, smart, kind of use both sides of the plate, kind of, I mean, you want to be that way all the time when you have the talent, but if he doesn't start finding, if his velocity is down for good,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't look at him as a number one starter anymore.
He's no.
A third or fourth starter.
Not at all. You know, you look at, I think there's a couple of names that come to mind when you start talking about that. There's Anibal Sanchez,
right,
who we saw last year with the Atlanta Braves, who's kind of transformed who he is as a pitcher. You know,
right.
he was
right.
A hard thrower. Then he had some really bad years and kind of changed who he was as a pitcher. And Julio Teheran, I think, is kind of going through that transition himself right now. And it worked for Anibal.
And Anibal has made himself a viable major league pitcher like that, but he's not what he once was.
No, he's not. And apparently he's not doing so hot this year either. And then the other name that comes to mind when you start talking about that is Tim Lincecum, who is just never the same.
Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, he was dominant at one point.
They were talking about Hall of Fame with him, and then he had to redefine who he was as a pitcher, and it just didn't work.
It didn't work for him. So it is a concern, and I hope that's not the case because Folty finally put it together last year and showed us kind of what he could be, but now with this velocity situation in the elbow, you have to ask the honest question. I mean, was that the peak of his career last season? And I would imagine the Braves front office is asking that question too. You know, the other part of this, Brian Snitker was saying yesterday after Newcomb kind of came out of the pen the other night that that's kind of how they want to use Sean Newcomb going forward out of the bullpen. But again, Kevin Gausman's facing a suspension. Max Fried just got hit on the wrist by a line drive, and Folty's got velocity problems. That might not be an option. They may need Newcomb back in that rotation.
Wow. Yeah, and the thing about it is if Newcomb is going to be – he didn't seem real pleased about being in the bullpen either.
No. Well, and I'm glad I really like the way he handled that.
I'm fine with that. Right.
I mean, he said, you know, I'm going to – whatever they ask me to do is what I'm going to do. And he hasn't pouted about it, and he came out of the pen, and he pitched really well. But he also wasn't, you know, toeing the company line either. You can tell he wants to be a starter, and I like that. I like that competitive edge. That's good to see.
Right. I mean, you don't want him to just settle for, hey, you know, I'm just a relief. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a reliever. There's a lot of great pitchers who've been relievers. But if you're a starter and you want to be a starter and you feel like you're a starter and you've got starter stuff, you don't want to just say, okay, I'll just accept whatever you want and I'll be a reliever. No, you want him to show that kind of fight and grit and all that stuff. And hopefully, you know, you could see that from him and, you know, as you move forward. So,
mm-hmm. So the Braves and the Dodgers tonight, wrapping it up, 8:55 pregame, 10:10 first pitch. The good news is when they get to Phoenix, the games will start at least 30 minutes earlier.
Yes.
And hopefully the Braves keep it interesting enough to where I can. I was going to stay up and watch the game last night, but like I said, dude, when Tyler Flowers broke up that no-hitter, I flip it over, Denver's handling Portland, and I shut it down.
It's time to go to bed.
Yeah, that's just I can't.
It's hard. Those 10-10 games are hard.
What? Well, I used to be able to stay up as late as I wanted to. What happened?
Well, you got kids now. I mean, you got a kid. You have other responsibilities. I don't stay up because I like to get up now and go to the gym.
Yeah.
And if I stay up really, really late, I just can't motivate myself to go to the gym.
Well, see, I'd like to be able to say I don't stay up, but what I'm actually saying is I can't. So now I feel even older.
Yeah, that's two different things.
Yeah, I'm not as cool as I used to be.
No.
I'm not watching the sun come up anytime soon.
None of us are as cool.
I don't know how cool I was to begin with, but I'm definitely not as cool as I used to be.
I don't think any of us are as cool as we think we are.
Ever.
And then when we get old, we're never as cool as we used to be.
No, there's nothing cool about a mortgage. I mean, it's great. I'm glad I have one, but yeah.
I wish I didn't have one. I wish I could win that Publisher's Clearing House.
Damn grass ain't going to cut itself.
That's right.
Oh, man. So anyway, that's what's going on with the Bravos. We got NBA basketball tonight. And Russ is slowly getting hooked in. I don't know why I just refer to myself in the third person. I hate people that do that. So now I'm a hypocrite. But anyway, getting sucked back into things tonight. Milwaukee, back at home, could wrap up the series against the Celtics. They lead that one 3-1. And this is the age-old question about the playoffs of any sport, right? If Milwaukee wins tonight, is that good or bad? Because there's the chance that if Philly wins the next game in that series, Milwaukee could be sitting at home for about a week.
Sit around and get with the old rust and rest thing. We hear that.
So how many times did we see that with the Braves where they were in the 90s where they just ran away with the division and September was, you know, call up the kids, set up your rotation, and then it's just like they didn't have it when the playoffs
and
came.
And it catches up to them once the playoffs begin, yeah.
And then that Rockets-Warriors game tonight, I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. I must say, because yeah. I did not think Houston could give Golden State a series, and they went back and they took those two games in Houston, and oh, by the way, yeah, they can.
Yeah, I think I can stay up tonight to watch that. I probably will be able to stay up tonight to watch all of that, but it'd be hard to watch all of the Braves game. But yeah, I mean, I thought the Warriors were going to roll over the Rockets. I know there was all this talk about this is the Rockets' year, and this is their chance. And you know, they started off so bad during the season, early in the season, and they were the best team in the NBA after the All-Star break, mm-hmm. as far as the best record.
Sure.
And now here we are. And the thing about it is, like we said yesterday, every one of these games has been close. Could they win tonight?
You win one in Oakland. You win a game 5 in Oakland. That may be all she wrote.
Yeah. We saw that last year. We saw it last year.
How wild would it be? And I don't look, I still believe Golden State's going to win this series. But let's just imagine for a second. If this is the last ride for Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson is on his way out of town and they lose in the second round of the playoffs, how big of a disappointment would that be?
It's as big an upset as we've seen in sports in a while, mm-hmm. right?
Sure. But I just, you know, a team like that, and look, the Warriors have played a lot of basketball the last few years. That's the thing. When you repeatedly go to the playoffs over and over again, you play a lot of basketball.
Yep.
And you just wonder if a game like tonight where you're tied 2-2 and you got people getting on the airwaves like myself and you asking the question, man, what if? You just wonder if this is the type of game where it just kind of all comes together.
And they win by 30.
And they just – then this is where they flip the switch and the rest is history.
I worry about them with their depth because mm-hmm. they're getting nothing off the bench.
Which is unusual. That's right. that's kind of the like one of the things that isn't really talked about a lot in this run is how deep Golden State has been.
Because nobody looks at Stevenson. Nobody looks – well, now Iguodala's starting.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody has looked at Stevenson. Nobody has looked at all these – what they've gotten out of Bogut. I mean, guys like Bogut and some of these other guys who where they go other places and they're nothing – but they've gotten stuff out of them. I mean, that's the same. That's the way it works. The Bulls did that with a lot of guys.
Sure.
When they were really good. The Lakers have done that through the – I mean, the Lakers, for years, it was Shaq and Kobe, and who the hell else is on the team? Mm-hmm. So that works with these best teams, but they're not doing that this year.
You look at the last game they played. DeMarcus Cousins was on the floor for about 30 seconds. They used McKinney off the bench. Looney played 22 minutes off the bench. Looney, Livingston, yeah. 14 minutes off the bench. Bogut DNP coach's decision. That is the one thing for all the attention and focus that you put on Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Green.
Draymond.
Thank you. Yep. Brain fart there.
Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson. For all the talk about those guys, one of the things that I think got overlooked during this run is the depth that the Warriors had. Right. And you're all of a sudden, it's not there.
And Stevenson's talking about retiring. Before, Iguodala was coming off the bench.
Right, he's a starter now.
Right, yeah. Now he's a starter because Boogie has been out. And they don't have that guy to kind of be the real center. They've gone with the smaller group. And Houston is going back at them with an even smaller group and trying to play even faster.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens tonight. And I think Celtics are done tonight. I do.
Really?
I think the Bucks win tonight.
You know, I've kind of seen headlines. I've full disclosure, I haven't really gone deep into it, but guys like Jalen Rose are saying that the Celtics they're like done with each other. Are they going through a bad breakup?
Yeah, it seems like. And everybody just assumes that Kyrie's going to New York.
Yeah, we know how the NBA works. Zion Williamson, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant are going to revive the Knicks next season, right?
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, if that happens, the Knicks become a viable franchise again, maybe.
They're going to be relevant again. By the way, I don't know why I'm mentioning this, but I won't say the venue, I guess, because they're not a sponsor. But you remember I was telling you about JD and the Quick Shot or whatever, James Dolan's band?
Yes.
Yeah, this goofy owner of the Knicks is actually in a band, and I haven't really listened to their music. Do you know they're playing Macon next month?
You texted me.
Oh, I did. That's right. Yeah, I did. Yeah. The Knicks owner is in a band, and they're playing in Macon next month. How weird is that?
That's as random as it gets.
I mean, that is
really, really random.
I'm not rushing out to buy tickets. I can promise you that. I will say this. The venue's very cool. I was at a concert there a couple of weeks ago. But the New York Knicks owner, James Dolan, plays in an Americana band, and they are playing in Macon next month. That just takes the cake for strange.
And the thing about it is, if I'm running the Knicks, James, just get away from the team and go travel with your band. I don't want you anywhere near my team anyway.
We got the draft. You go on tour this summer. We got you,
and
JD.
Stay away.
I'm going to be rocking you on my AirPods
go
or
be
EarPods
JD,
or whatever they
and
call
I'll
it.
Take care of the team.
Good Lord, have mercy. Thanks for listening, as always. We do appreciate it. The Chuck Oliver Show on the way. The Bill Shank Show live this afternoon at 3:00. For Daniel, I'm Russ. We'll do it again tomorrow at 11:00. Y'all have a good one.